Today is April 25th, 2009. My name is Shannon Palmore,
Christina Resolute,
and we are members of the CIS Oral History Project 2008-2009, and we're here in New Orleans with Mrs.
Corrine Conley.
All right.
Okay, first we would like to ask you, what is your name on your birth certificate?
Corrine Conley.
Okay.
No, Corrine Brock. Got me on that one.
Okay.
So you said Corrine Brock.
Okay. And where were you born?
In Bogalusi.
Bogalusi?
Yeah.
Where is that at?
That's about 50 miles from here.
When did you move to New Orleans?
17. I was 17 years old when I moved.
Did you move by yourself, or did you?
I got married. I've been here since I was 17. I have two daughters. My husband deceased. He's been dead now about 17 years.
Can you tell us about the community that you were raised in?
Oh. You want me to go way back?
It just seemed
like okay, well, we was my mama had 8 kids. Mama and we was very poor.
Sorry, did we record? Hit record? I don't think
I thought it was recorded.
She did?
Is there a flashing red button? Flashing red button.
And she said hit the white button.
Okay. I'm just gonna Okay, continue.
That's all right. We don't get it right.
Yes.
So where do I start? My mom had 8 kids, 5 girls and 3 boys. Back there in the days, you would say we was very, very poor. My mama had 1 job. She was a single parent. And we would have to take time to go to school, especially when my mom had small kids. The oldest one had to stay home, still had the kids. And when we got rice and gravy and fried chicken, we thought we was rich and we get that on Sundays. Then I got a job when I was 11 years old. I used to do housekeeping for a school teacher.
What did your mother do for a living?
She did housekeeping. Okay. She did housekeeping and back there in the days where she was making like $15 a week. So we had a pretty rough time, but I thank God we had that rough time because I wouldn't know the value of different things now. And sometime I wish I hadn't had such a rough time because my grandkids and my kids do not know the value of different things because I make sure they have. If they say they won't, I make sure they have. And God got their needs already taken care of and I take care of he wants. So it's good they have a rough time and it's good not to have it. You'll learn a whole lot about it, you know, from it. Do you want to move on to
whatever you want to tell us?
Okay.
You can tell us.
Okay.
We're letting you lead and then whenever you don't have anything else, we'll ask you another question.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. Okay. So I have 2 daughters. I have 2, Melissa and Michelle. Sunshine of my heart. Have 2 grandkids. And I got that divorce named Carmichael. We call him Tiger. That's my heart. You just can't touch him. And have a little granddaughter. She's Raven is 15, She thinks she's grown. She's not into boys right now, but she's into sipping. What y'all call it? Y'all don't call it flip. Y'all call it what?
Being like gymnastics or chipping?
No, I'm talking about being flip at the mouth, run off the
mouth. Oh, okay.
Y'all call it that. But anyhow, she runs off at the mouth a whole lot. But she's good. She's a good child. Both of them. All met back all four of them. It's very good. We take nothing in the world from them. It could get a little burnt out sometime, but I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I have a grandmother. She's in the hospital right now. She's 115. She fell and broke her leg, and she can't get around right now. So, and she's just not getting where she don't know you. She started that like yesterday. She didn't recognize a lot of people who come in there in the wrong way. And my mama have a small family. My mama was a twin, and she got another sister, a baby sister. So her twin is dead, so it's nobody there but my mom and my auntie. So that's about it.
You say your grandmother is 115 or something?
Yeah. She's named, her name is after me, Corey, but I'm named after her. Always teasing and tell her she's named after me. So I'm named after her, that's about it. Anything else?
Do you know anything about your grandmother's history that you could tell
her? No, I was too busy and cooking and cleaning up and keeping all the kids. Now my sister honored me. She know the history of everybody's life in the family. So all I know, my grandmother had, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think she had like 3 sisters and a brother. She was married to a Brock, and he was crippled. And I never met her mother and her daddy, so. She just lived in Chicago when we was coming up. She lived in Chicago. She just moved back to Franklin about, she's 110. She moved back when she was about 100 years old when she moved back. Mm-hmm. And so that's about all I would tell you about her. Mm-hmm. She was a pretty little switch lady.
How did you feel about New Orleans when you first moved here?
Oh, I didn't know my way around. I had to catch the bus, and I had to learn how to catch the bus. And I had to learn New Orleans all over. Then I learned how to drive, and I wouldn't take nothing to work for. But once you learn your way around, you know, and with me being here since I was 17 years old, it's kind of hard to put the old lady in another place.
Where did you meet your husband?
In Franklin. Okay. That's how I did the Franklin marriage. My marriage from New Orleans.
How did you meet him?
Through his sister. Me, his sister was a best friend. She was a good friend of mine. So, we met one night at a football game.
Well, do you think you were ready for marriage at 17, or do you feel like now that you look at it, do you feel like you were too young, or?
Okay, back there when I was coming up, yeah, I was ready. I mean, I know everything about the housekeeping, how to keep the house clean, how to do this, how to do that. Yeah, I was ready. I was ready for the houseware, material things, but getting ready to be a wife, to be intercourse with the husband, I wasn't ready for that because I didn't know nothing about it. So, and I was very afraid of that. I learned very quick on that one, though. Because I got two daughters, so I learned very quick on that.
Are you gonna say something else?
No.
Did your mom ever talk to you? Talk to you about sex or anything?
Back there, they did. Mm-hmm. He had to learn it all the way. My mama was too busy trying to work and take care of all of us. So, no, she didn't do that. I think she did a good job, but she didn't. We learned it from different kids and talk about it from back then in the days. Back then when we was coming up, it wasn't about sex. It wasn't about boyfriends and girlfriend. It was about you got to make it, you know. Because by the time if we get a job, if we didn't have a house job, we had to go work out in the field. By the time you get to working out in the field, picking cotton and doing different things, your child, you don't even want to look at no ball. You don't want me to look at you either. So I was very busy. Back then, the days they kept you real busy where you didn't have sex on your mind, you didn't have boyfriends on your mind. So we was very busy back then. Mm-hmm. So.
Did you talk to your daughters about sex?
All the time. Sometimes I would talk to them the nice way. They're like, they want to be slow with it and couldn't get it. I would tell them their very nice way. If they don't understand, well, you don't listen to a boy, or either you don't let a little boy feel on you, or you do not have sex with a little boy. So if they don't hear that, so I just tell them, you do not fuck a little boy. Wait till you get grown, you know, because I don't have time to take care of no little babies. So I went both ways with it. I had to go, at Raven would say the ghetto way, so I would have to go all the way down and let them know, you know, different things. Sometimes I would explain it to them real nice, sometimes I would explain it to them real rough. So we waited. Either way they want me, yeah. I give them the pretty way, I give them the very ugly way. Mm-hmm. So anything else?
So, did you work when you got married?
No, I didn't work. I didn't work when I got married. I stayed home with the kids. And with not it might not happen to everybody, but back there, in them days, and now some people speak control. Back then, when you're not working and not making your own money, a man will control you. He'll tell you where to go spend your money, go to the grocery store, go buy this, you know. So one day I just growed up and just felt like I want my own money. I didn't feel like I wanted to just stay there and let him control me, you know. I got a job, got along pretty bad when I got a job, but he came around, he understood I needed my own money, and that took some of the pressure off of me. I had to buy for the girls and buy for him and the girls, so he had the bills and things, so it was nice once we got it understood. And I wouldn't take nothing in the world from working because that learns you a lot, learn how to deal with people outside of your household. If you just be a housewife, all you leave it in is catering to your husband and catering to your kids, and that's not me. You know, I'll cater them to them for a certain extent, but I need my free time. You know, I need an exhale or something like that. It worked out good though. But I would tell anybody, least word, you know, because if that man leave you or if he die, you have to learn how to work. You have to learn how to do everything, you know. And it's better for a woman to be in a family. Anything else?
I don't have anything else.
What was your occupation when you were married?
Oh, well, when I married, I was doing, that's when I was home with the kids. Mm-hmm. I was just home cleaning up, cooking, mm-hmm. make sure, washing, cooking, and take care of the babies. And pay bills and different things like that. And see, if I didn't have enough money I might have even money to pay this bill. If I go and catch the bus and pay this bill, I couldn't even get me a cold drink. So I said, no, it's got to stop. You know, so that's what I did. So when my first job was working, doing housekeeping for this white lady. I stayed with her like 22 years. Then I left her and I went to work at Tulane. And then I worked at Dillon's for a couple months. And then that's when I got into it. So anyhow, we it was okay. Then I went on, I moved on. Then I went to Macomb, Mississippi, and I worked at the school over out there. Then I left there, came to Carleton, and I worked at the school. Then I came back here. What made me come back here? I got sick with asthma, and my kids was here, and they didn't want me over there, so I got stuck over here. And then I started picking up, didn't like housekeeping no more at home, because once I was cleaned up at my house, I would be finished doing everything about 10 o'clock in the morning. So I got me a job doing housekeeping again. So and I've been with this lady I work for now 7 years, going on 8 years. Me and her have a good time, we have bad time. Most of the time we have bad times, but she'll get over it.
Why do you have that time?
She feel like she wants me down on my knees to pick up something off the floor or either to scrub something off the floor, and I don't get on my knees. I tell her I don't get on my knees to do, just to pray for God. To pray. And she said, well, get on your knees. So I got on my knees and I said, Lord, don't let this white woman see on my knees. So she said, damn, get up, Corinne. So I told her. I told you that's what I get on my knees for. I get on my knees to pray. So you don't want to be a fool, but let me get down there. So, well, we have a good time. I just go there and do the work because I don't have time to be bothered. And like I told her the other day, you know, damn if I do and damn if I don't. It makes no difference. You know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once you know, and like white people's, some of them, they do it in like certain ways with slave driving. I don't know nothing about no slaving, so you're not going to even try to let, you're not going to go there with me, you know. So, they'll be a controlling if you let them control you. So I didn't let my husband control me. I definitely not going to let a white woman control me. I don't let my grandkids control me. I don't let my two daughters control me. So that's a no-no. Nobody control me. Nobody but God. So we get along. She don't want to talk. I don't want to talk. Especially when I don't feel like talking, I ain't not going to talk to her. So we had one of the moments yesterday. I didn't feel like talking. So she went on. She got over. She was all right. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
You have a question? So have New Orleans culture influenced you at all? Do you participate in Mardi Gras?
No. Mardi Gras, I stay home and eat everything I put my hand on, everything I think about cooking, because I give it up for Lent. I give up meat and sweets and coffee, Lord. Coffee and cold drinks for Lent. So I stay home and I would be bigger than this room because I stay home, try to eat flour beans, try to eat cakes, try to eat pies. I just do the whole works. Now I don't fool with it. My kids do it. I don't have to go out there now because my kids is grown. I don't worry about doing it with the grandkids. I stay home and cook and whatever be left over, it comes in and eat it. But no, I don't fool with that. But it's real nice. It's very, very, very nice. To catch some of the parades and the zoos and all that. It's very nice. I've just done growed out of it. I feel like I just want to just be home by myself and do things for myself. So that's my day. Because I know I'm giving up a lot. So I do that and concentrate on, Lord, let me go through these 4 to 8 days. Cause you giving up that for 4 to 8 days, something going to get on your nerves, or somebody going to worry you, or you're going to have to say something to somebody. Now, you know I'm hungry, so don't be fooling with me, you know, let me get adjusted to this, you know. just don't fool with me, especially the first 2 weeks. But this year, it was really, really hard on me. It took me 3 weeks to get into it, you know, and look like everything was aggravating me. Like when I go to work, the old lady was going to raise hell. I said, look, I'm hungry. I'm got caffeine, don't have no caffeine, don't have no sugar, don't have no meat, so it's best for you to leave me alone. So I stayed like very selfish for 3 weeks. And then I got into the swing of it, you know. But then I had to cook. And when I cooked, the food smelled a whole lot better. And like now it smelled good because I just not started eating a little bit now since, Easter. This is something I started eating that. Mm-hmm.
So. Were you here during Katrina?
Yes, I didn't stay. Me and my daughters then left that Saturday. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to leave, but we left. I left them. We went all over the world just about it. My daughter said, Mommy, you got all your money, so I didn't get all my money. I left like $400 in the safe for me. Raven and Carmichael to come back and start my Christmas shopping, do Christmas shopping early if I got the money. We went to Tennessee. We left Tennessee and we went out from Baton Rouge. We left from there and went to San Antonio and we stayed up there. And I was ready to come home. And I told my kids, I said, I'm going home, I don't like it. I definitely don't like up there in San Antonio. But we stayed in, me and my oldest daughter, we moved back and stayed in Memory for a year. Their rent was very, very, very expensive. They was charging me like $1,000. Down here, that was very expensive for 2 bedrooms and living room and bath. So we stayed in there for a year. So we finally got the house fixed in. But we're still working on the house a little bit more, different ins and outs need done. But I thank God we finished with the house right now. What we got to do is not major, you know, but it need be done. So my daughter went, Carmichael and Raven, they stayed up there like 2 to 3 years after we left. And I got tired of traveling, and when I went up there, Carmichael would cry so hard, and I would cry, and I said, oh, hell no. Since we have to cry all the way back to New Orleans, it's time for y'all to come home. I'm not coming up there. So they came on home after we got the house together. That was really something I wouldn't want to go back through and want nobody else to go through it. It was really bad. We live in the east, and the house was covered with the water. We lost everything, and believe it or not, we left with the worst things we had in the house. Pair of jogging pants is up, and just something to change in. So we just had one change, and to know we didn't have nothing. And how we found out everything went out in the water. We seen it on television, and me and my oldest daughter, it's hard for her to cry. And she just broke down, started crying. And when she cried, that really broke my heart. She broke down, started crying. And in the baby girl, she broke down, started crying. I said, all right, it's time for praying time. So we just get together and make a circle and start praying. So prayer really brought us through it, you know, because we couldn't do anything. Prayer really brought us through it. Mm-hmm. So that's something I wouldn't want nobody to experience, nobody. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you live back in your house now?
Yeah, we back.
Are a lot of your neighbors back too?
No, a lot of them is not back. They need a lot of work done. Like I said, the water went over the roof. So you had to build from ground on up. So it's a lot of them is not back. We got one Winn-Dixie. We got a Lowe's. It just built a Lowe's. And we got a Home Depot out there. So they's not doing no big time building out there. If you go in the DVD world, the casino and basketball, football games and stuff, you would think that hit New Orleans, but it's a lot of places you have to go to see it really hit New Orleans, you know. Really, I believe the storm didn't do it. I believe they lying on God. It wasn't nobody but them white people bombing that. Instead of them, the mayor probably gave them to do one that, and they did as many as they wanted to. Enough to thought they was going to kill all those black people, so a lot of them survived. And a lot of them died, you know. So, once you say get over it and start your life all over again.
Were a lot of your family members affected?
My sister Annalie and my other sister, she didn't lose as much as me and my other sister lost. And my sister, she got called in the storm on the 24 miles bridge, And where we live at, in the east, that bridge blew out. It just washed away part of it, not all of it. So they was able to patch that up. So, no, I didn't lose no family. I didn't lose anything, but we didn't lose anything but clothes and material things. And we lost two cars, my car, my daughter's car, and all that clothes and things. My oldest daughter, she was living in an apartment on the second floor, so she didn't lose too much either. She didn't lose too much.
Well, I want to go back to when you were younger and you were talking, you said that some of your siblings would have to stay home with the kids.
Yeah.
To help your mother out. Were you able to go to school often? Or?
Yeah, we went. We went. Usually we took turns, and then when they got old enough, they went to stay with the neighbors or somebody. And back there, my mom wasn't able to pay for a babysitter, you know. So, well, it worked out. It was, I think, it for the best, you know. So when we was, when we got a radio, we thought we was rich. Because we never had a radio. When we got a television, oh, shoot, we was really rich then. Phones, we didn't get no phone. So we didn't, my mama didn't get a phone until we got out of the house. And her first four got out of the house, and then the last four was able to get a phone and television and radios and all that. So. And that's where, I think that's where my kids came in, being spoiled and things like that. Because it's a lot of things I didn't have, and I got them. Mm-hmm.
What were the race relations? Like, were there any whites in your community, or did you interact with any whites when you were younger?
Back there, well, we had like the whites on one side, the blacks on one side, on one side of the town, and on the other side of the town, it was whites. My mama used to work at a restaurant, and if you were wanting something at that restaurant, you had to go to the back door. And I was always selfish. If I couldn't have it with the white boy, I didn't want it at all. If I couldn't have it with the white girl, I don't want it at all. So I stayed home for a lot because I was very, very selfish. And so sometimes mama got that job, so she got a housekeeping job. So when she would work, she'd cook breakfast for them. So she would bring us the milk over. So I was selfish. I wouldn't pick up over. And I stayed home early. So I was mostly did my eating at school or either at school and on Sundays.
When you moved to Louisiana, to New Orleans, what was it like there?
Oh, when I moved, it was like movie star. Battling in a movie star because it was a lot of things I never seen and a lot of stuff I never experienced. And it was real, real nice. I really enjoyed it and still enjoy it, you know. I don't like what goes on down here, but I don't have no kind of control over it, so I don't worry about it. So my biggest thing now is making sure Melissa and Michelle and making sure Raymond and Carmichael have the best. Neither one of the girls is married. I guess they spoiled as hell, so they are not married. Melissa, she's in her apartment. Michelle, she bought her own house, so she's there. So I'm with Michelle right now, keeping an eye out with the kids and bringing them to school, picking them up from school, counting them baseball, basketball, football, practice, dance school shit, you name it. So I'm helping her out right now. She's getting somebody in her life right now. It's Carmichael, our daddy, and it's coming back in her life, and I hope it worked out if that's what she really wants, you know. But if that's not what she wants, you know, let it go. But I'm hoping it worked out for her. Pray it worked out for her. And at least one of my girls get married. Five minutes was four.
You said that she didn't like some of the things in New Orleans, some of the things that are happening in New Orleans now. What are the things that are going on?
Oh, they got a lot of killing. So that's in a lot of places in there. They got a lot of killing. They just got a lot. That's one of them. And I don't think they moving and building like they should. I think a lot of people should be to move back. They're just not doing what they should do. I mean, a lot of streets need working on. They're not doing that. A lot of buildings need to be, and then now they're trying to lay off a lot of people who have come back. And one thing is better. The rent is going down a little bit. It's not $1,000 like when we first moved back. It runs you like $600, $700, because they're not paying you the money to have a $700 or $1,000. So if it's not two people in the house making pretty good money, you cannot pay $1,000 plus your lights and gas and the way back and forth to work and stuff like that. You can afford it.
So who did you vote for the presidential election?
Oh yeah, I voted for the president.
For Obama?
Yeah, I voted for him. I didn't vote for him because they said he was a black man. I just wanted to give somebody else a chance. And he's talking about that he's going to put a basketball court. So why not? The white man had a ballroom in the White House, huh? So why not? So they giving him hell. I wish they wouldn't. But they don't give him hell. Only thing I just pray that they don't kill him. You know, white people you cannot trust, you could work with them and beside them, but a white person would eat a peanut butter sandwich. A black person would get full and go to sleep. And that white person would live on that peanut butter sandwich. And what you done learned, what you learned him how to do, he done make it rich. While you sleep, then you learn. And just like the lady I worked for, she tried to get me to open up a restaurant. I opened up a restaurant with this white woman. I'm back there slaving like an old slave, and she's spending all the damn money. Then I pull around and miss a meal and realize what she's doing, you know, because she's going to make it look good. She's going to keep me big and fat. You know, comfortable with anything I want to eat, anything I want to fix. So she's spending all the money, so it's no sense. I don't want no restaurant. I don't want none. I could open up one. get right. Morning, that's all hard work, you know. Because people could eat all your food up and say, oh, this didn't taste good. Could I have something else? You know, you have to know how to deal with the people down here, you know. So they have to send their plate back, and I just can't deal with it. I wouldn't deal with it because I have a lot of dealings at my house. And if I invite you to my dinner, you eat anything you want, anything I serve, you're welcome to it. You cannot carry a plate home with you. Because I feel like I worked it over the stove, I cooked it. So I don't, you don't need to be carrying no plate home while I'm cooking, while I'm cleaning up. So you go home and I'm cleaning up. So that's the way that goes. No carry out plate.
What is your favorite thing about New Orleans?
Right now, it's the Hornets. I'll give the Saints another chance. Because Reggie, he used to wouldn't talk, so he's kind of talking a little bit now. I've worked so that way where Reggie stayed in Chris Paul State. Chris Paul is very, 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 very nice. Very nice young man. I couldn't express that with saying about Reggie. He learned, you know, he learned, he'll get there, he'll get there, but Chris Paul is the man. That's my baby. He's the man. He's real, very, very intelligent. So, that and cooking and having people over, so that's about it.
Do you learn how to cook when you were younger?
Yes, indeed. 7 years old.
Mm. You're 7 years old when
yeah.
you started?
Uh-huh. Mm. Yeah, Raven only knows how to cook, so don't worry about it. She's 15. And Michelle she don't cook. That's my baby girl. She don't cook. Now, she'll cook a little bit of something if I pays off for anything else on sugar.
I have a question. You talk about how, you know, you didn't like white people trying to control you or you
Oh, they're not gonna control me.
If you couldn't do what the white person did or you know, if you had to do something different than them, you just wouldn't do it. How did you feel during the civil rights movement when all of that was going on?
When that was going on, I stayed in the house. We wasn't allowed to march because my mama was working for these white people. And if we were to march, she would have been out of our job. Oh. So we didn't just pay it. No.
How did you feel when the movement was going on and about the demonstrators?
I think it was good. I think it was good. I think it was good the little bit I learned about it and the little bit I seen because we used to sit out on the front to see them marching. And I think it was real nice. And the scary part was when the Ku Klux Klan and the white people will, you know, jump the blacks and things. And the black man didn't have no say-so. So that part hurted me real bad. I mean, I was very angry about that, you know. And I believe I kept a lot of that angry, and like now, nobody controlled me. A white person, if we can't do it together, we can't do it at all, you know. if I don't mind working for them, but if they have to stay in a place with me. They respect me, I respect them. They want to get down, we'll get down together. Mm-hmm. It makes a difference.
Was there ever a point in time, like, I guess during the demonstrations of the KKK when they were around, that you were afraid, or?
I think I was too bad to be afraid. I feel like I was too bad and too flipped to be afraid. I wouldn't even tell somebody, you say something, I'm going to tell you what's on my mind. I don't sugarcoat anything. If I hurt your feelings, your feelings just hurt, you know. So I never was one to sugarcoat nothing, you know.
I don't want to ask this question. I guess when you think about Martin Luther King, you think about Malcolm X, both of them were very different in the way they were, you know, trying to approach the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
Did you favor one over the other, or did you think both of them were doing a good job, or one of them wasn't doing it?
To think about it, I think both of them was doing a good job, but really, I'm not in a big time with credit rate, with voting and doing this. I would vote, but I'm not going to discuss it because they're going to do what they want to do anyhow. So if you're not in a pop with them, you can't do nothing about it. So I'm just an outsider, you know. And it makes a difference what they do, you know, as long as they don't harm me no kind of way, or my kids, or nobody else I know, you know. So, you know, I could say, well, I mean, if I was in the White House or whatever, you'd get fired out of the White House just like you can at another job. So, I think they should do their very best. And I pray they do their very best or whatever, but talking about what they should have did or how they should have did it, they don't want nothing but your vote, and that's it, you know. And they don't even want to hear you, you know. So I don't even put myself through that drama, saying, well, this white man should have won, or this black man should have won, or this shouldn't have killed Dr. King or whatever like that, you know, because white man killed him, and white man still, you know, they still ain't doing anything. If there was a black man killing the white man, he would have been dead, you know,
yeah.
He would have been dead. So I don't get involved with all that. And when you have movies about that, I don't look at that. Because it's not going to do anything but make you be angry all over again. You're looking at something you're not going to be able to change. You only thing you need to do is make sure you do your very best. Make sure you don't get in that situation where they tell you when to cook or when to, you can't cook this or you can't drink this cup of coffee or, you know, so I try to keep my head up or I won't get in that position. I know I don't want to get in that. Somebody tell me, no, you can't have a cup of coffee today. So, no.
If you wanted to give one piece of advice to our generation, what would you say?
I would tell you, stay in school, know what you want, make sure you know what you want. You know what you're talking about. I don't care what somebody else say. If you know it's right, don't back down on it. Make sure you're right. And you inventory that. And you say, Lord, if I'm right, and if you keep God first, you can't go wrong. You know. You can conquer anything you want if you keep God first. And once you keep God first, you got your mind made up. You say, Lord, you help me. You bring me through this. Everything gonna be thrown at me. You know, everything might look good now, but you're gonna have a hard time. God is what you do. If you poor, rich, you still gonna have a hard time because you're gonna say, oh Lord, I got so much money, I don't know what the other pay for, you know. You fool around, you don't pay near and damn here, you know. So it's best to just keep your eyes on God and just, you know, stay focused. Make sure, I don't give a damn who it is. If you know you're right, you stay on that word. You know, you stay on that. You know, if you have to get there and write a book about it, say, I know I was right. She told me I told a lie, but I'm not lying. You know, you make sure you right, you stand on that word, you know. And if you go to, when you go to God, God said, well done, you know, then you throw your head back and say, hey, I know what I was talking about, you know. Yeah, so.
What makes you sad?
Oh, boy. Say what don't make me sad. What makes me sad? If anybody messing with, call Michael, anybody messing with raping, anything. And if anybody get on Michelle, I overcome that because she stays upset. But if anybody messing with Michelle and Melissa and Raven, and if I know I can't do nothing about it, you know, I don't went to God and I can't do anything about it, then I have to just keep praying and leave it alone, you know. And another thing would make me sad if you tell me, you say I lied, or either if you say I stole something from you, I took something from you, that would make me very, very sad because I wouldn't want nobody to lie on me. So that, and my grandmother being sick right now, but she done lived her life, and it's all for the best. So.
What makes you happy?
What makes me happy? Long as my kids is happy, I'm happy. I'm not a hard person to deal with. Long as they happy, I'm very, very happy. Long as they get what they want, and how to help them do. And the biggest thing, what makes me so happy, I'm able to trigger into a lot of things in Michelle's life and Carmichael and Melissa and Raven life. So they got selfish because every time something come up, they need it. So I started praying and I learned how to share different things with different people. So I have a little family in Macomb, Mississippi. This is a young man, he got a wife and a daughter. He's on dialysis. And I think the reason I fell in love with them, because my girlfriend was on dialysis, she died. And something, I just gotta clamp on to them and call them my little family. But I think it's gonna back off sooner or later, though. They get too expensive, so I'm gonna back off on them. But other than that, if everybody happy, I'm happy. If I make anybody happy, I'm happy. If somebody pays by means, say I need something, if I got it, that makes me happy. If I could give a person my last dollar, that makes me happy. You know, but if I gave you my last dollar, don't come back and trying to be smart with me, you know. You won't get me nothing. you know, you're going to give my dollar back or whatever. So if everybody happy, you know, and what makes me be so happy, if I to just speak to you and that makes you feel good, I to say something to make your day be better, that makes me very happy. You know, that makes me very happy. I won't say cooking for nobody because I'm cooking all the time. Sometimes me and the girls, the young ladies, will go and have a trip. Sometimes I take a trip and go to Macomb, Mississippi, but I'm helping my little family, so. And but if I'm helping you and you just keep on, don't look like you're gone. Encourage yourself to try to get up and do better, then I'll have to back out from you because I feel like you're using me, you know. You know, if I help you this month, you broke next month, damn, you ain't trying to do something now, you know. if I carry you out to eat this month, next month y'all bring me out to eat. And now that makes me mad. If I bring you out to eat, or either if I do something for you, and you jump around and you say, oh, I really want to go out to eat, and we go out to eat, and you look for me to pay the bill. You know, you tell me, look, will you bring me out to eat? Don't say, let's go out to eat. Say, will you bring me out to eat, because you don't know what's going on in my pocket, you know. So that would make me very upset, you know. And I'm going to tell a person about it also. Then I'll be all right. And they won't eat no darn more. They will not eat any more with me.
Is there something that you wanted to do in your life that you haven't done yet?
No. Let's not work in a funeral home.
So you want to work in a funeral home?
I would like to. Or either fly an airplane. Something wild.
Yeah.
Something wild, yeah. But I think I have been blessed to do everything and more that I have been doing, you know. So it's good. I find it up.
Yes. This is the end of our interview with Mrs. Herman and
Colleen.
No.
That's okay.
And this is Christina Resolus and Shannon Palmore signing out.
All right.
Awesome.